قول بالقدوس. I'm sorry, not the قدوس. We finished with the قدوس. Okay. All right. So the name that we're going to be talking about today is Al-Jabbar. 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 Al-Jabbar means that he has a power that is so impressive. When somebody has a power that is so impressive that you say Jabbar. Like Superman in Arabic. What is Superman in Arabic? The Rajul Al-Jabbar. Okay? When you say Superman in Arabic, it is Al-Rajul Al-Jabbar. Al-Rajul Al-Jabbar. So when we say Allah is the Al-Jabbar, means that His power and might are very impressive and beyond comprehension. Like He is infinite power and might. He has infinite power and might, and nobody can match Him in power and might. When we're going to tell you a story that disproves that. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when somebody claims to himself to be God, Allah destroys him in the most miserable way. In a miserable way. For example, An-Namrud. An-Namrud. An-Namrud was a king. You know, who is the prophet that argued with An-Namrud? Who was the prophet at the time of An-Namrud? Prophet Ibrahim. Prophet? Ibrahim. He was the one at the time of An-Namrud. Prophet Ibrahim. Okay? And Prophet Ibrahim, Namrud say, I can give, you know, when Ibrahim walked out of fire, not burned, when he walked out of fire, not burned. So An-Namrud asked him, who is your God? He said, my God is the one who gives life and death. My God is the one who gives life or death. So Namrud said, well, I give life and death. Let me show you. So he got a guy who is having a good life, and he killed him. Okay? So he said, here we go. I give death. Now he got the guy that is to be on the death row, waiting to be executed. And he got him out of jail, and he gave him the wealth and the money of the other guy that he killed. So he killed one, and he spared one. And he said, I give life, and I give death. Yeah. I give death by killing someone. I give life by sparing someone. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, okay, that's a silly, ridiculous argument. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said, my Lord, he didn't argue with him, and he said, no, that's what you're saying is not right, and this is not what we mean, and all of this. No, he just moved on to a different point. He said, my God is the one who brings the sun from the east. Okay, can you bring it from the west? Now he's stuck. So he said, huh? No. You know? He was like stunned. He became speechless. Okay? So now he insisted on telling people that he's God and he's to be worshipped. So Allah al-Jabbar decided that he's going to kill him in the most miserable way. Most miserable way. Something extremely miserable. What is it? A mosquito. Allah made a mosquito go into from his ears into his brain. Just a mosquito. From his ears into his brain. And then when the mosquito starts buzzing, he screams, ah! And he doesn't feel comfortable. He doesn't feel relaxed or relief unless you bring shoes and you hit him on the head with the shoes. So now the bee or the mosquito, I think it was a mosquito or a bee, you know, either one of the two, will stop stinging him in his brain, stinging his brain. Okay? Now when they stop beating him on his head, okay, the bee might go back to, or a mosquito will go back buzzing. And then again, he's like, ah! And they kept doing this to him until he died. See, that is, he died quickly, you know, shortly after. So that was a miserable way of dying. It's just like, hey, I'm going to send just one mosquito. Just one mosquito. And she's going to take care of you and make you die in the most miserable way. Okay? So that is the one who claimed to himself to be the mighty, the God. So Allah wanted to teach him a big lesson and teach his surrounding, the people who used to worship him, a lesson. That look at your God, what happened to your God. He's Allah Jabbar. Beyond his powers and might are very impressive, beyond comprehension, beyond all what you can imagine, a Jabbar. There is a second meaning of a Jabbar, which means the one who heals the broken parts. This is why they have algebra. You word algebra?
Oh.
Algebra. You know al-Khwarizmi?
Yeah.
Al-Khwarizmi is the one who made algorithms. Because they used to call him Al-Ghawarizmi. They used to call him Al-Ghawarizmi. But he is an Arabic, Al-Khwarizmi. So they distorted his name. They couldn't say it the way it is. So they say Al-Ghawarizmi. Al-Ghawarizmi. So then, because he invented algorithms, so they called the algorithms, referring to his name, Al-Ghawarizmi algorithm. Okay? So now he authored algebra, also algebra. What is algebra? It's coming from the name al-Jabbar. Algebra means adding fractions, which is in Arabic means doing jabr for the fractions, doing jabr for the fraction. Like two fractions are broken, they bring them together. So, for example, when you break your arm, and they put a cast on it, this cast, in Arabic, called al-jabira. Al-jabira, because it heals the fracture. So, it comes, this name al-jabbar is the one who does heal the fractions, heal the broken thing. If there are things that are broken, Allah will heal them. Okay, that's the second reason. To further let you know about, how mighty, how Jabbar is Allah, and no one is comparable to him, let's tell you the story of the Pharaoh. And see how Allah is Jabbar. Quickly. The Pharaoh used to claim to himself that he is the highest God. So Allah likes to torment the people, just like I said, who claim to themselves that they are gods in the most miserable way. So what was this miserable way? He made him see a dream. And in this dream, he saw that a guy from the children of Israel will rise, will be, will grow up in his, near him, and this guy is going to destroy his kingdom. This guy is going to kill him and destroy his kingdom. Okay? Destroy his kingship. All right? So now, he saw, why did Allah did this? Allah did this so that he wants to tell Musa, here is the way you're going to be killed. Show me you are Jabbar. Show me how you're going to stop it. You see how miserable it is? Just like I'm telling you. This is the way you begin to be destroyed. And now you're Jabbar, or you saying I am mighty. Okay, show me how can you stop it.
I think you mean Pharaoh.
I'm sorry, yeah, I meant Pharaoh. You got this part? So, Allah wanted to humiliate him the most. Give him a miserable death. So, he will tell him what's going to happen. And then tell him, you Pharaoh, the mighty one, stop it. Stop it if you can. This is really a big challenge. When Allah makes you, let you know the way that you're going to be destroyed. I challenge you to stop it. And you can't stop it even though you are the Pharaoh of Egypt. The one who said, he didn't say, I'm your God. He said, I'm your highest God. Because they used to be pagans. So there were idols. Okay? But he was the boss of all these idols. He said, I am your highest God. I am the highest God. You know, madness of greatness. I don't know if this expression exists in English, but madness of greatness, to be mad about greatness.
Mad with power.
Yes. That you think of yourself to be mighty and powerful, super mighty and super powerful. So that's madness. Okay. So he was mad of power. Okay. So he used to say, I am your highest God. So Allah will tell him, Al-Jabbar told him, okay, you're the highest God? Okay, show me how you're going to stop. Challenge, big challenge. So now, you know the story about Prophet Musa. This Pharaoh, before Prophet Musa, the Pharaoh started killing all baby boys. Why? To make sure that nobody is going to, this boy is not going to live. Now, this is his action trying to stop the plan. That's going to kill him. Could he stop it? No. So now the Egyptians are mad and tell him, we are running out of slaves. You're not letting the baby boys live. We don't have enough slaves. We want the ladies to bring children so that we have slaves. So when they grow up, okay, becomes like 12, 13 or something around that, maybe 10. They start taking them into these labor camps and work. Slavery. With the whip. So now, the people of Egypt, the Egyptians told him, we want you to do something about it. So the Pharaoh decided to kill the baby boys 1 year and spare them the next year. So he will alternate. 1, 3, the year first, year third, years 5. So he was going to alternate. Now, would Allah let Musa be born in the year the Pharaoh is alternating? No. Allah wanted the challenge to be the most. So Allah made Musa be born when?
The second or fourth
year. The year that the Pharaoh kills. To further humiliate the Pharaoh. So Al-Jabbar made him be born in the year the Pharaoh kills. But he made his mother, that he made him so small that his mother will not. So people, when they look at his mother, they don't see that she's pregnant. And then when it's time for labor, she went out of town to far away place. And then she delivered the baby there all by herself. Okay, no, she didn't need a midwife or anything like that. So Allah made it easy on her. That was an easy delivery because it was so small. And then Allah made that small baby extremely strong when he grew up. I'll tell you how strong it would be. when what happens later. So now, this is the challenge. Allah wanted to challenge the Pharaoh to, Jabbar wanted to challenge the Pharaoh further and humiliate him the most. So Al-Jabbar said, okay, I will make Musa grow in the house of the Pharaoh. See how insulting Allah is insulting that Pharaoh. I'm letting him grow in your house and show me how you're going to stop it. So now you know the story. Allah told Maryam, Allah told the mother of Musa, give him a very good meal, breastfeed him very well, and then put him in a box, throw the box in the Nile River, and don't worry. I'll take care, I'll direct the box to a safe place. So now she breastfed him a good meal, and she did that. But she told his sister, follow him, walk on the bank next to the river and follow him. Follow the box to see where is the box going. So she followed that, and the box went to the house of the Pharaoh. So the mother of the wife of the Pharaoh, as she didn't have children and she couldn't bring children. So when she looked at the baby, she fell in love with him. She really, Allah made her love him so much, so much, more than she would love her own son. So now she said, this is mine. This is mine. So now the Pharaoh, he knows the dream. So he's actually before that, to see how Jabbar did with the wife, with the mother of Prophet Musa, the baby, the baby could not find a nurse or like a nursing mother. Why? Because they bring him all nursing mothers. He refuses to drink milk from them. And he keeps crying. And then she brings him another one. He keeps crying. And doesn't want to drink any from the breast of any woman. He doesn't want at all. Okay? So now his sister, now it's like an emergency situation. Like the son of the queen or the son of the wife of the Pharaoh, he's dying. He wants somebody to breastfeed him. So it became an emergency. Look for anybody. So the sister of Prophet Musa, she was walking with him, following him. She went to them and she said, I know the woman. I know the right woman. She breastfeeds very well. Okay? So they said, bring her. Not hard to try. So when they brought her, Musa took her breast and started sucking milk like a bum. He was like, did not stop drinking milk from her breast. Drinking. So everybody was happy, including the wife of the Pharaoh. So she said, can you please work, be a nurse, nurse the baby, breastfeed the baby? Can you work for me to take care of the baby and feed the baby, breastfeed the baby? So Al-Jabbar brought him back to his mother, and his mother is nursing him, and she lives in the house of the Pharaoh, and she's being paid money. So she's being paid to raise her son in the house of the Pharaoh, the most secure place on earth at that time, just like the White House. Okay? Do you see how Al-Jabbar, he told her, throw him and put him in the box, throw him in the Nile, and I'll take care of it from that point on. And he, subhanAllah, Jabbar. So now, when the Musa was like 4 or 5 years old, he went to the Pharaoh, he grabbed his beard, and then he slapped him on his face. Slapped him really hard on his face. So now, he's supposed to be killed, of course. I mean, he slapped the highest god in his face. So now, the wife of the Pharaoh said, no, please, I love him, he's my son. And are you scared from him? Are you scared from this baby This baby is scaring you? You, the highest God? So the people, the advisors said, okay. So they kept arguing. So the advisors said, okay, we'll offer him a plate that has charcoal, lit charcoal, and so charcoal that's on fire, lit, right? And then a date. And they say, if he picks up the date, then he knows what he's doing, we kill him. If he picks up the charcoal, then he doesn't know what he's doing, so we are not going to kill him. Yes, Musa was reaching to what?
The
date. So Allah sent Angel Jibreel to push his hand to the charcoal. And he picked up the charcoal, he put it in his mouth. So it burned his tongue. So from this day forward, when he talks, he doesn't talk very clearly. He talks in a way that people might not be able to understand. And that's why when Allah asked him to deliver a message, he said, I need a helper to talk to the people. I can't talk. I can't talk clearly. And that's how I can do my job, by talking. I'm a messenger. So he said, please make my brother a prophet to support me, to help me, so that we can do the job better and do you more tasbih and more remembrance and more tasbih and mentioning of you, your name. So here is Musa alayhi salam. See how Jabbar protected him? He slapped the Pharaoh and he got protected by Allah, Jabbar. Now why the Pharaoh wanted to kill him? Because the Pharaoh said, here we go. He's the boy. He's the one in the dream. Okay? When he slapped him, he's my enemy. So now he felt too arrogant to kill a baby that doesn't know what he's doing. Okay? So he felt too arrogant to kill him, especially when they told him, okay, are you afraid of him? Okay. So now, Al-Jabbar made Musa grow in the house of the Pharaoh. And he could not stop it. He could not stop it. Guess who was born in the year with the Pharaoh's baby boys? Harun. Harun, the brother of Prophet Musa, he was born in the year where the Pharaoh spares baby boys, doesn't kill baby boys. But Musa, no. Allah wanted to challenge the Pharaoh. Al-Jabbar wanted to challenge the Pharaoh.
Oh, so the year that he spares, does he kill the same people the next year, or does he just let them go?
The ones who are being, who are born.
Yeah, so if someone...
No, he let them grow, because that's the problem. The problem is that the Egyptians were running out of slaves. So they told him, you gotta let them live.
How did give the message to Musa's mother, put Musa in a box?
Oh, reveals to her heart. Reveals to her heart.
But how was that? Like, wouldn't she think she was like crazy to put her child in the box?
This is why she trusted Allah. Yes. Allah said, you're afraid about him? You're afraid he's going to be killed? Put him in a box, throw him in the Nile. It's not like hug him tightly, hide him. No. Put him in a box and let the box go in the Nile. So Allah made Musa, Allah revealed to her heart. So her heart was... Yes, she was from the children of Israel who was following the religion of Prophet Yaqub and Prophet Yusuf. Okay, Prophet, but the religion of Prophet Yaqub in general, because Yaqub is the father of Yusuf, and Yaqub is the son of Prophet Ibrahim. So Yusuf was a son of a prophet, was a prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of a prophet. Because he is Yusuf ibn Yaqub ibn Ishaq ibn Ibrahim. four prophets in a row. So they were all taught the religion of submission to Allah, which is the true Judaism at that time. Okay, the problem with the Jews now is that they have a low image of Allah. So they think Allah regrets what he does, Allah makes mistake, Allah cries, Allah's sad, Allah's wished that whatever he did, that he didn't do. Okay, so that's they have low image of Allah. They say there's one God, but they have a low image of him. Okay, so now he grew in the house of the Pharaoh. Al-Jabbar challenged him. He's growing in your backyard. Challenge of Al-Jabbar. So now the Pharaoh grows in the house of the Musa grows in the house of the Pharaoh. Now what happens is that Allah wanted Musa to get out of Egypt. Okay? So what happened is that Musa was walking and he found one of the children of Israel, which is his race, fighting with the Egyptian. Okay? And the Egyptian was beating up that child of Israel, like this Hebrew boy or this Jewish boy, okay, or Jewish man. He was beating him so hard, so hard, so hard. So Prophet Musa, so the guy, the Hebrew guy, or the Jew guy from the children of Israel, the same race like Prophet Musa, he called on him. He said, help me, please help me. So Musa came to help. Guess what he did to the Egyptian? He did just like this to the Egyptian. Just like this. When he did this to the Egyptian died. Why? This is how strong was Prophet Musa. He was super duper strong. Look at this baby who was born like the size of the hand, so that nobody would figure out that his mother is pregnant. This guy, this baby, he grew up to be very strong and very, very, very tough. So now he walks away, and then the Egyptians kept wondering, who killed this? Who killed this? They were running an investigation to find out who killed that Egyptian guy. So now the next day, he finds the same guy. Say alhamdulillah, we say yarhamukumullah. Then you say yahdina wa yahdikumullah. So the same guy was fighting with another Egyptian. The same guy was fighting with another Egyptian. And the other Egyptian started whipping and beating up that Jew person, or Hebrew person. So Prophet Musa says to him, you are a troublemaker. And he approached him and said, you are a troublemaker. Indeed, you are a troublemaker. Don't you want to stop being a troublemaker? So the Jew guy thought that Musa is going to kill him. Because Musa was yelling at him, so he thought Musa is going to kill him. So he said, you want to kill me like you killed the Egyptian guy before? Uh-oh. So now everybody knows that who killed the Egyptian guy? Musa. So now they started to conspire to kill Prophet Musa, alayhi salam. To kill the Prophet Musa, alayhi salam. So a guy who likes Prophet Musa, he came to him and he said, the people are conspiring to kill you. Run fast. Run, 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 run fast. Leave the town and run fast. So he started heading east. He started heading east. And when he head east, you know the rest of the story. But he started crossing the Sinai desert. And then when he arrived at a place called Midian, the Midian there were... They used to have a well of water, and then they bring the water with buckets, and then they fill in like something like a sink, sort of. What do you call this in English? Big sinks. Okay. So big, humongous. Is that what you said?
Basins.
Oh, okay. So basins. They fill basins okay, with water, and they let their sheep go and drink from these basins. So he found the people are doing this, and then there were two girls, two young girls, waiting aside with their sheep to the side. So he told them, what a disaster brought you here. Because that was like very, not odd, very terrible thing to do, is to send girls to do that. Girls to do that, to mix with the men, okay, to shepherd their sheep and to give the sheep water to drink. So what they used to do, they used to come, wait for all the men, after they are all finished making their sheep drink, giving, that means all sheep drinks water and they are full and leave, there will be some left over. So she drinks, they make their sheep drink from this leftover. Now, why don't they just go bring up some water from the well? Because, yeah, because before the shepherds like go away, they put a rock on the top of the well. Why? Because they don't want the sand to cover the well. So they put a rock so that it's protected. Okay? So the girls don't have the strength to remove the rock because it takes 10 men. 10 of the shepherd to move the rock to the side. And then bring up the water and then put the rock back. So those 10... Prophet Musa saw them, so he told them, what a disaster brought you here, so they started telling him the story. So he said, okay. Then he went to the rock, all by himself. All by what? Himself. Carried this rock, see how powerful is he, and put it aside. All by himself. And then he brought with the bucket water to fill the basins so that the two girls can, the sheep of the two girls can drink. So now after that he went back to the shadow. There was a shade of a palm tree or a tree that he was resting under. And then after a while, one of the girls came. And then she stood a little bit far from him because they were wearing hijab and they were good, righteous girls. So she stood, he's a stranger. So she stood like far from him and she said, my father wants you to come so that he can thank you for doing this to him. Now remember that when he told him what a disaster brought you here, what did they say? They said,
huh? Your father's sick.
Huh?
Yes,
their dad is an old person, like he can barely walk, and they don't have a brother. There are just two girls for that dad. So there's no other return. So when Prophet Musa, when the girl came and said, my father wants to thank you, when Prophet Musa went to her father, the father said that, I want you to... The girl said to her father, my father, hire him. He is strong and honest. Hire him, he's strong and honest. Now, how does she know that he's strong?
The
rock. And how did she know that he's honest?
He helped them?
No. When the girl was telling her, was leading him, to the way where her father is, she used to walk. Okay, and he's supposed to follow her, like from the back, be following her from the back. Okay, now what happened is that the wind started blowing, so the wind showed the contour of her body. She was wearing like a wide jilbab, a wide dress. So the wind came, and then the wind made the dress show the contour of her body, like show her body, how it does it look like, okay? So he felt that this is not right. So what he did is that he said, okay, I'm going to walk in front of you, and then you tell me right, left, front, or you can throw a rock. Like, if you wanted me to go right, you just throw a rock to the right. If you can't yell that, if I don't hear you, then you throw a rock right, throw a rock left. Otherwise, I'll keep going straight. So he walked in front of her. So this way she knew that he's honest. He's very, very honest. They knew that, she knew that, okay? And now the rest of the story, as you know, the father said, you marry one of my daughters, okay, in exchange of serving me for 8 years. Serving me means shepherding my sheep for what? For 8 years. If you want to make them 10, that would be a grace. That would be kind from you to make them 10 years instead of 8. And this happened. He married the girl and then he started working shepherding. And by the way, most of the prophets did shepherding sheep. You know that? Like Prophet Muhammad, he did that. Why Allah makes the prophets like herd or shepherd sheep?
Huh? Because it's not such like a wanted job. And Allah wanted to show that the prophets don't need a lot of power.
They could be doing something else. But why is this in particular? Because they will be the ones who guide people. So Allah make them guide sheep first by herding the sheep. So he guides them. So to give him the patience and the training that he would be guiding people afterwards. Okay. So now we know the rest of the story. And Musa and the Pharaoh, to the level that the last incident, the very, very last incident that happened, shows you also how jabbar is Allah, is that at the very, very end, when the Egyptians ran out